certainly thankful for the presence of each and every one. As Bruce mentioned, we do have visitors among us. We're delighted that you've chosen to come our way, and we hope that you'll be encouraged and return each and every opportunity that you may have. Thank Michael for the good prayer that he led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Max leading us in those very uplifting, encouraging hymns as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And appreciate that good reading of the scripture that Junior just gave for us there from 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning, as we're going to take a few moments this morning to talk about some precious things that we can find in the Bible. You see, the word precious is mentioned over 70 times in the scriptures. And when defined, the word precious denotes that which is costly, that which is weighty. It denotes that which is something of great value, something that is not to be wasted or treated carelessly. And with that thought in mind this morning about the word precious and what precious is, let's take some time to discuss some precious things that we can find in the Bible. Beginning with, the Bible says, God's thoughts are precious. There in the 139th Psalm, in Psalm 139 and in verse number 17, David proclaims, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." You see, just as the thoughts of God were precious to David, they should likewise be precious to you and to I. And they should be precious in the fact that God's thoughts are on such a higher plane than the thoughts of you and I. Did you know that? You see, we learn about that there in Isaiah chapter 55. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Isaiah the 55th chapter. And there in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning there in verse number 8, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Did you catch that? Here, the Lord Himself simply informed us that His thoughts are much higher than the thoughts of you and I. And because God's thoughts are on such a higher scale than the thoughts of you and I, we should recognize them as being precious. So remember that and know that God's thoughts are precious. But not only does the Bible say that God's thoughts are precious, but the Bible also says that God's promises are precious. Notice that with me there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Open up your Bibles with me there to 2 Peter chapter 1. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning here in verse number 1, we read, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." Now watch verse 4. Pay attention. Peter says, "By which we have given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Did you catch that? Here in verse 4, Peter describes the exceedingly great and precious promises of God. And it's interesting to note that the Greek word translated promises here in verse 4, it only appears two times in the Bible. It appears here, and it also appears in verse number 13 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And it indicates the things promised rather than the act of promising. That's important, because you know what that means? It means that our God is a promise-keeping God. It means that our God says what He means and means what He says. And when He makes a promise, He's going to keep it. When I think about the exceedingly great and precious promises of God, I'm reminded of the fact that God's promises are precious, and that, as the Apostle Paul said there in Titus chapter 1 and in verse number 2. And remember what Paul said there? Remember what he said? And hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, now watch it, promised before time began. Think about that. And remember, God's promises are precious. And we serve a promise-keeping God. But not only does Peter tell us there in 2 Peter chapter 1 about the precious promises of God, but he also talks about the fact that our like faith is precious. My beloved brethren, did you know that? Did you know that our like faith is precious? You see there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says that there is only one faith. Not many, but only one. And as Peter began his second epistle, he addressed those who have attained like precious faith. Again, have you ever considered the fact that our like faith is precious? Have you ever stopped to consider that? You see, our like faith is precious because of its source. We learn there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But not only is our like faith precious because of its source, but it's also precious because of what it does. You see, we learn there in Acts 15 and verse 9 that faith purifies our hearts. We learn there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that faith justifies. And we learn that it is a vital part of our salvation there in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. And there the Apostle Paul penned, "For by grace you have been saved," how, Paul? "Through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." You see that? Remember that. And know that our like faith is precious. But not only does Peter talk about our like faith being precious, but he also talks about the trial of faith being precious. Turn over there with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 7, Peter talks about the trial of faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Though it is tested by fire, it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Simply put, Peter is telling us that our faith, the trial of our faith, is precious. We may not always understand that, but we need to realize that just as gold is a precious metal, as Peter uses here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Just as it is a precious metal, and as we recognize the value of purifying gold by the process of fire, may we all recognize how much more precious one's faith is when it is proved by the trial of temptations, by the persecutions that our faith endures. Remember that next time you're going through the trials of your faith. Think about and recognizing the value of purifying gold by the process of fire. And remember that when our faith is tested and it stands that test, that it is a precious thing. But I also remind us of the fact that the Bible says that unity of brethren is precious. We learn about that in the 133rd Psalm. Go there with me, if you will, to Psalm 133. And here in Psalm 133, beginning here in verse number 1, it's recorded, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Indeed, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But David goes on to tell us that it is also precious. Notice that there with me in verse number 2. When he goes on to say, it, that being the fact that brethren dwelling together in unity, it is like what? The precious oil upon the head. Think about that. You see, we need to know just how good, pleasant, and precious unity of brethren is. And it's important to note that unity, it can simply be defined by one word. You want to know what one word simply defines unity, what that word is? Oneness. Oneness. Oneness is the one word that can simply define unity. And when brethren are united in doctrine, having the same mind and judgment, it is certainly, as we just learned here in Psalm 133 and in verse 1, good, pleasant, and as we learn in verse 2, precious. Never forget that, brethren. Never forget that. And never forget that there is nothing, and I repeat, there is nothing that is good, pleasant, or precious about division. Therefore, keep in mind the fact that not only did David sing about the goodness, pleasantness, and preciousness of unity, but remember Jesus also prayed for it. As we learn there in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And the Apostle Paul pleaded for it. As we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse number 10. Once more, unity of brethren is precious. But the Bible also tells us that wisdom is precious. You see, wisdom, it can be defined as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. It is simply the quality of being wise. And did you know that it has been said that the keynote of the book of Proverbs is the word wisdom? Wisdom has been said to be known as the keynote of the book of Proverbs. And notice what Proverbs has to say about wisdom and the preciousness of it there with me in Proverbs chapter 3. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning here in verse 13, the wise man said, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And he goes on to tell us why, beginning in verse 14 when he says, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. Pay attention now to verse 15. She, that being wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? You see, here the wise man himself said, happy is the man who finds wisdom. He tells us that wisdom and its proceeds, they're much better than the profits of silver and gold. He tells us that wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things that one may desire can't even compare to it. Think about that. Remember that. And know just how precious wisdom is. And keep in mind that if you lack wisdom, pray for it, as we learn there in James chapter 1 and in verse number 5. And may we always remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 10. But we also learn in the Bible not only the fact that wisdom is precious, but also the fact that a good name is precious. There in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, it is written, a good name is better than precious ointment. Simply put, a good reputation is precious. It is precious because it carries commendable attributes. Attributes such as honesty, trustworthiness, and dependability. And we need to understand the principle of having a good name and or reputation. We need to understand the need to strive to have a good name. You see, we realize that principle and understand the necessity of that when it comes to the products we buy, don't we? We understand that when it comes to the products and services we buy and pay for. Therefore, we need to likewise understand the need to possess a good name. And although there are some who are willing to trade a good name for things of much lesser worth, may we always be mindful of these words found there in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 1. And there we read, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Remember that. Understand that. Know that a good name is precious. Know that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And may we always keep in mind the fact that it takes years to build a good name, but it only takes one foolish moment to destroy it. Remember that. And know, as we learn here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, that a good name is precious. But we also need to understand that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is precious. Going back there to 1 Peter chapter 2, which Carlos so ably read for us a few moments ago, we learn here where Peter quotes scripture from Psalm 118 and Isaiah 28 and the prophecies that are contained within them. And he applies these to Christ and to the fact that he is precious. Notice that with me, if you will, here in 1 Peter chapter 2, picking back up there in verse 4. Peter writes, coming to him, again, that's being in reference to Christ Jesus, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is precious. He is precious. He is precious in the fact that he is the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3 and verse 16. He is precious because there is no salvation in any other. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. He is precious because he died for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 3. And he is precious because he is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and in verse 6. And he is precious in that he is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 9. You see, as we learn here in 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus Christ isn't precious to everyone, but he is precious to those who believe. So I ask, how about you? Is Christ precious to you? Is he? For as we learn here in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says that he is precious. But not only does the Bible say that he is precious, but we also learn that his blood is precious. As Peter informs us there in 1 Peter chapter 1. There in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18, Peter speaks of the blood of Christ as being precious. When he says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but how, Peter? Verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see that? Have you ever thought about just how precious the blood of Christ is? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about just how precious the blood of Jesus Christ is? Let me share a few thoughts with you from the Bible in regard to why the blood of Christ is precious. Beginning with, the blood of Christ is precious because it purchased the church. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. It is precious because it remits sins. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 28. It is precious because it justifies. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 9. It is precious because it redeems. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. And Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 14. It is precious because it makes nigh. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 13. It is precious because it brings peace, as we learn in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 20. It is precious because the Bible says it sanctifies. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 12. It is precious because the blood of Christ cleanses, as we learn in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7. And it is simply precious because, as we learn there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, because of the fact that it washes us of our sins. You see why the blood of Christ is precious? You do, don't you? And may we always be mindful of the fact that the Bible says that the blood of Christ is precious. But one more thing to share with you this morning that the Bible says is precious. And that is, the death of saints is precious. You see, it's hard for many to imagine death as being something that is precious. It's hard to imagine that for many, isn't it? But I want you to notice with me the words of the psalmist found there, recorded in Psalm 116 and in verse 15. And there in Psalm 116 and verse 15, the psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I want you to notice something, though, for a moment. Notice that we learn here in Psalm 116 and verse 15 that nothing is mentioned about all death being precious, is it? Not everyone's death is going to be precious in the sight of the Lord, is it? But what does he say is precious in the sight of the Lord? The death of his saints. You see, those who belong to the Lord, their death is precious. And it's important to note that a saint is one who can be identified as belonging to the Lord. When I think about that, and I think about Paul's definition there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2 of a saint, Paul writes there, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus are called to be what? Saints. Saints. That's a saint. And those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus are called to be saints. And the death of the Lord's saints, that's a precious thing in the sight of the Lord. It's a precious thing. Remember that. and seek to live a faithful, obedient life, serving the Lord, so that when your appointment with physical death comes, it will be precious in the sight of the Lord. Once more, the Bible says, these things are precious. Now I ask, are they precious to you? Are they? I hope so. For as we have mentioned here this day, there are many things that the Bible considers to be precious. And each of those things should likewise be precious to each of us. As we mentioned a moment ago, one of those things we discussed this morning as being precious is the blood of Christ. I now ask, have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? And have you had your sins washed away? Have you? If not, you have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. You can be washed in the blood this very hour. And you too can have your sins washed away. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, as we talked about earlier. And may we all always remember the need to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We encourage you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this morning who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.